Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 792 for the week of November 8th, 2025. I'm Chris Privateer, and I'm about to start dying a lot. Who else is here with me? Andy, you're here, right?
Hello, I am here to watch you die.
Oh. This is the sweetest marriage. Watch your husband die a lot in video games.
Relationship goals.
I mean, absolutely. We love it. I mean, also, I guess I'm here. Hi, I'm Sam Wachter, resident, video game slut.
Resident librarian.
I mean, slutty librarian? Maybe.
Are we going to be explicit tag this week, Sam?
Yes. Sam's here. Of course it's an explicit tag.
I'm going to try.
Is there any doubt?
I'm going to try to be good. I got it out right at the beginning.
Why would you try? This is a feature, not a bug.
Get mad at me.
I mean, she's been good on Backtrack. I haven't had to use the explicit tag with her on in a while.
Yeah, but
it's true.
That sounds like a bug and not a feature.
I don't know. Maybe we've been playing good stuff, so she hasn't had much to cuss about.
or be horny about.
Or, that means you weren't on the Chemco episode.
I mean, we've got Yakuza Kiwami 2 coming up, so yay. Maybe we'll get to use it then.
100% horny salmon, man.
Yep. No, I'm there. I'm ready. My body's ready for punching tigers in the face.
I can't wait for the Assassin's Creed Odyssey episode that's coming up, where you sleep way across ancient Greece.
I mean, I think I literally put in the review for that a picture of Cassandra climbing up a Greek butt.
I'm like, you're totally Lesbos for Cassandra, weren't you?
I am. No, like, literally, I spent the whole game being like, she's so hot, but also, oh, we're going up somebody's penis. Now it's a butt.
What?
What?
Greek statues.
Okay, I'm very much looking forward to this Backtrack.
me too.
There is so much, like, just, it is so accurate to its time period, and at the same time, I'm just sitting there giggling like a doofus, being like, I kind of penis. And Scott going, I need to take this game away from you.
I need to take this game away from you. Sam goes in the corner for a penis time.
Sam goes to horny jail.
I had to go to horny jail.
Right to jail.
Right to jail. It's very hard to get out of jail.
Of course, we do have Kelly Ryan here as well.
Hello.
And Josh Carpenter, who is regretting all of his life choices currently.
Look, I need to try to be PG-13. It's for the kids, damn it.
Hey, it's Extra Life!
Yay!
Like, first to get boob talk pre-show, poor Josh had to hear that, and then now climbing up penises in horny jail.
Let's watch Chris die.
It's a good thing that the title of the show is already determined, because otherwise we would be having very heated arguments about climbing up penises in horny jail.
Hey!
Art Seidel and Chris being, we can't put that on Index!
I mean, we could.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Listen, I'm playing another Crab's Treasure right now on stream, because the tradition is I have to die to a Souls-like over and over and over during the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I've lost my shell, and I'm chasing a plastic loan shark who has it, and I don't know what's happening anymore.
Keep going, but wait, also, like, you could just pull out your gun.
God.
It's a...
The puns.
It's a shark talkie thing. I don't know what the... Those are called
a plastic shark head on a stick.
Grabber?
Yeah.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Give back my shell.
I need to purchase this game. It looks fun, and we could do it. You can do it back.
It was on the Humble Bundle this month. So, like, it's just I knew I was probably going to play it during Extra Life, and then it just literally fell in my lap. I'm like, well, that confirms it. Playing this,
just like.
Hey, that's what happened with me and Lies of P.
Kind of manifest destiny there. Oops.
And Pascal really liked it when he reviewed it for us.
I'll have to put it on our backtrack list. I think it is more than 2 years old.
No, it came out in 2024.
Yeah, next year.
So by next year it'll be.
Yeah.
By next year it'll be at least 2 years old.
That's less of a rule and more of a guideline, like the speed limit.
Yar. Oh, we had this conversation about road rules yesterday.
What, that the speed limit is a suggestion?
Chris's conceit was that following the law is more dangerous sometimes than not following
very,
the law.
Very much a sometimes statement, not an every time statement.
Which is, no one here, when they're in a dedicated turn lane, uses a turn signal anymore. And it's like, yeah, that's why they don't use turn signals any other time either, because they're just not in the habit of using turn signals. And that is way more dangerous than someone thinking that you're trying to change lanes inside of the turn signal lane.
My God, I hate people who don't use their turn signals. I hate it. And, like, anyone who is Canadian understands the pain of the 400 series highways, where you spend a lot of time going, okay, are you actually moving over, or are you just leaving it on?
I cannot turn right on the red, but Tabernacle can go right through it.
Yup. Again, everything's optional when it comes to driving now.
Especially in Quebec.
I am never doing that again. Everything is a one-way.
Sparrow.
With gigantic signs explaining where you can and can't park.
Yes, it literally is one way. And you're like, but how do I get around this?
Sparrow's going to come to the chat and be like, are you talking
crap
about my city again?
But his province does so many things wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I mean, I know I'm snooty and I'm from Ontario, and Ontario does everything wrong in different ways.
And, like, listen, the 400 highways are just a whole experience. But also, Quebec, really? What?
You know, I will say, driving in Alberta, not that painful.
Yeah, but that's because there's nothing to do but drive. And it's pretty flat. And it's flat.
It's flat. I was thrilled.
No, it's just flat. Oh yeah, and then I guess you hit the Rockies.
The Rockies, yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean,
that's a technicality.
Look, I drove across the whole province from Calgary to Drumheller, and then Drumheller all the way to Banff. It was an experience. And you know what? I appreciate that they have dedicated turn lanes in a way that Ontario does not have. And I am like, that's pretty good.
The crab Naruto again, runs.
he has the ninja run.
Yes.
But like, no, driving in Ontario hurts a lot of the time. My other favorite is the people who are stupid enough to like, basically like the TTC buses will park, which is Toronto Transit Commission. They'll park to like let somebody off or somebody on. And there are idiots who will drive around them to make a right turn, and all I keep thinking is, so you want to be hit by the bus.
They passed a bylaw in some of the Toronto suburbs where that's legal now.
It's
like, you're gonna
always
get
been illegal in my neighborhood.
Okay. It's like, you're gonna get a $250 ticket for that at some point. Like, have fun.
Also, don't sue the TTC if your car gets totaled, because you're the idiot that went in front of them.
When I was living in Vancouver, someone ran into the back of the bus and died. And then the parents of that person tried to sue the Vancouver Transport. And everybody was like, you what? It was a whole thing, and they were trying to get, they like went to the news and tried to get people on their side for this lawsuit, and it was just like, you what?
Yeah, I mean, and then there's driving in places like Thunder Bay.
Oh, no, All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for Canadian Cast. Have a good week. See you next
Sorry.
Week. No,
Oh, my
just
God.
Canadian things. Sam and I need to have, like, a Canadian show. It'll be me and
yes,
Sam
no.
and I died.
Ryan Costa, and maybe we'll bring on Scott for some extra spice, and Christian, and we'll just have a Canadian cast where all we do is complain about the dumb things in Canada.
So Leo
sponsored
Graham.
Sponsored by Timmy's.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right answer. I mean, well, no, you could also be sponsored by Robbins, which is, according to my father-in-law, better.
No one wants to be sponsored by Tim Hortons anymore because they suck now, right?
Vaguely, yeah. And yet, they're one of the only options we have.
But the donuts are still better than Dunkin', and I will die on this hill.
Or...
I want to take this challenge because... I'm a donut connoisseur.
Well, even you would recognize Dunkin' Donuts are not top-end donuts.
Kels is doing a road trip to the border just to donut.
Yeah, no.
Vaughn? Oh, wait, you lost your passport. We can't do that yet.
I mean, and then there's the two other donut chains that are not as popular, like Country Style and Coffee Time.
Ooh, Coffee
Actually, Country
Time
Style has really, really good baked things that aren't donuts. And that always yes. confused me.
It's true. It's pretty valid.
Because it's like you are a donut and coffee shop, but your donuts are but everything else that you make is great. How does that happen?
I don't know. I don't know. Also, Leo Grimm, Thunder Bay is a JRPG dungeon as far as I'm concerned, because there is a lot of traps. Because nobody can drive in Thunder Bay. Especially in the winter when everyone's like, I know we should have winter tires on, but it's more fun to play slip
winter
and slide.
Winter tires are optional, right?
Every time
we
I'm
don't
in the
get
car,
any snow here. Yeah. Why would I need winter tires?
Yeah, every time I'm in the car with my father-in-law, he drives like he's Mario Andretti. And I'm just like, Scott, am I going to die? And he's like, we'll be fine. And I'm like, are you sure?
I would like that in writing, please.
I was just like, yeah, like the amount of people I saw trapped in snowbanks the last time I went for a visit because like they just turned wrong and like here's this jumbo snowbank. And it's like, good job, guys. Like way to see that snowbank coming. And then oh, you're man. Like, oh, I need someone to help me get out. And it's like, nah, you're dumb.
We spiderwebbed again. All right. It is Extra Life Weekend.
Oh, Peter.
So if you are a newer listener, Extra Life is a fundraiser that's been going on. I believe this is like our... So it's been going on since 2008. This is RP Gamer's 15th year participating. Oof. We started back in 2010. Yes. It was like the second year that anybody could join in Extra Life that Chris was like, this sounds like an awesome thing and we should do it. So thank you, Chris, for being forward thinking.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yes,
we are raising money for kids that are being treated at Children's Miracle Network hospitals, and that treatment runs the gamut from emergency room services to natal care to behavioral therapy to everything and anything under the sun, cancer care. If kids need it, these are the hospitals that are handling it. This year, we decided to do something a little different. Normally, we have all of our different staff members who are going to be fundraising doing their own separate page. But we decided this year that we are going to have one single page for everybody to donate to. And this year we are raising funds for Children's Wisconsin, which is the hospital that Chris and I typically play for. They are awesome. They frequently stop by our stream when we're doing Extra Life. They are very communicative. They are, you know, always reaching out to us and saying, hey, is there anything that we can do to make your stream day awesome? And they're just great folks doing great work. I actually stay on their email list to sort of hear about the different things that the money that is raised during Extra Life goes towards. It all sounds amazing. And I'm just really proud to be helping fundraise for that hospital. And so if you want to help us raise money for the kids, you can head over to extra-life.org, and then you can search for RP Gamer as a page, or you can go /participant/RP Gamer, or you can go to rpgamer.com and find the Extra Life 2025 thing and click on the link there. Whatever you can donate, small donations have a huge, huge impact.
Yep.
And that's the thing that they talk about often, is how people think that $5 or $10 or $15 isn't helpful to donate. 100% it is. And if you can't donate, that's okay. There are still ways to support us. Head on over to twitch.tv/RPGamer. Drop a hi in the chat. Say that you're here to watch Extra Life. You know, anytime you want to pop by the stream and say, hey, I listen to the RPG cast and I love your show, that is a great way to support us, because it just feels nice hearing that. And knowing that you're out there and listening is very motivating. So hopefully you will hopefully you will join us at some point over this weekend, even if you're listening after the fact. And if not, don't hesitate to stop by and say, hey, I listen to your Extra Life show and I think you're awesome. So.
And I just want to add, like, you're absolutely right, Andy. Like, I get emails from Sick Kids, who is usually who I play for, which I'm also still doing it outside of the site this year. And it's amazing to find out things like that the kids are also just getting entertainment through Extra Life, or they're getting their stay at the hospital comped through things like Ronald McDonald House. It's amazing how much, you know, these donations go towards making sure that kids just have a comfortable stay in such a scary situation. And I know many of us can, you know, empathize about being in the hospital. I mean, I was literally in the hospital at the beginning of October, and it's a horrible experience.
It sucks as an adult. Like,
yes, but I can only imagine how sucky it is for a kid.
Yeah. I spent enough time in and out of hospitals when I was younger with ear infections and migraines that can confirm, like, 0 out of 10. And things that, you know, made me feel better were the things that kept my mind off of it. Yeah. And having that sort of entertainment aspect is so important to kids that are in hospitals.
Yeah, especially when they're waiting for radiation treatments. I mean,
major
I got
surgeries,
my
like major covering surgery from car accidents and stuff. Like, yeah,
it's hard. And I mean, all we can do is make sure that they get the support that they need. And that's why we do Extra Life. I mean, RP Gamer has been such a supporter. 15 years is a long time. But it just shows our testament to how important we think that events like this are.
100%.
And we get to watch Chris die.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, that alone is worth the price of entry, isn't it?
Chris needs a shell. It's like driving really me crazy that he doesn't have one. Find a can or something.
I'm working on it.
So, as is tradition for our Extra Life streams, Chris is playing a Souls-like. So this year he is playing another Crab's Treasure. And I'm sure we will have a VOD up of this on both our Twitch channel and on our YouTube channel. So if you are just listening to the podcast normally, feel free to pop over to either Twitch or our YouTube channel and watch Chris fail, because it is spectacularly delightful.
And this game is actually kind of cute.
It is so cute. Like, I kind of want to play it. But I think I've said that about every game I've watched on the stream so far. I'm just like, I want this one. I like this one.
Yeah, so far in our Extra Life extravaganza, which started yesterday, Friday, at 3 p.m. with moi, I was playing Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment, and then Scar was spinning the wheel of Super Nintendo RPGs. Spare Ombres jumped in with UFO 50, and then Hair Frog was doing our overnight stretch, and he was playing, what was the game? That,
Once Upon a Gesture and
Frogmageddon is, I think, the one.
Frogmageddon, and then yes. There was also
Was Frogmageddon any good? I have to know.
There was a bard one. He barded up.
Well, the Bard game where he was singing.
The Bard game was
Bard
cute.
Sung?
It was weird.
Bard sung?
No, Bard Harder. That was the
okay.
name.
Bard Harder.
Which, like, I'm sorry, that is nice. The best name.
That is for such a good name.
Visual novel about being a bard.
Bard Harder.
And it was just really fun to watch. Like, if you've never watched a Hair Frog stream, he does all these voices and everything. It's so much fun. It makes my day.
And hey, if you ever need a motivation to come watch Hair Frog stream, you can spend channel points to make Hair Frog speak Dutch while he's streaming. And it's pretty awesome.
Now, Andy, should we tell people about the incentives if they donate?
Ooh, yes. And in fact, I need to add a new one for this afternoon for your stream. So we are doing two different types of incentives for Extra Life this year. One is a total donations incentive, and you don't need to do anything to enter into that. That just rolls along as things come. And as we hit those goals, we are promising to do various things in the future. And the big goal, the one that is the most important for us to hit right now, is the Hair Frog torture goal. Because if we get to $2,500, Hair Frog is going to play Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy 10-2 in its entirety. Sorry, ooh, that's 1500. That's right. Cool. We took it down a little bit. And so we are, what are we at now? We're at $700 and we need 1500 to unlock that. The next total donation incentive goal is $1,000, where Leo Grimm has already committed to streaming Pokemon Coliseum. But if we hit $1,000, he will also stream Pokemon XD. We also have incentives that you can purchase. And those are a single donation that needs to be done in one fell swoop. And so the ones we have right now, because a couple of them have already been purchased, is you can add an RPG to Leo Grimm's GBA wheel, and he streams Tuesday and Thursday weekly. At $100, you can add a Super Nintendo game to Scar's wheel. There are four that he's offering for that. And then if you're feeling super generous, at $500, you can add back a Super Nintendo game that Scar has already beaten to the wheel. Incentive that's going to be going live this afternoon during Sam's stream is if you purchase the incentive, Sam will kill Chris first every time she's
no.
the imposter.
What? No. Who authorized this?
Me.
I was going to say, that should be obvious, Chris.
Like, Chris. Is there any doubt in your mind?
You're terrible.
Who suggested that particular incentive?
Can only be. Because, yes, we're going to have our Among Us party. Is it APM EST?
Yes. So if you are around Saturday, November 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern, we are going to be playing Among Us. Community members can 100% join in on the insanity. At twitch.tv/rpgamer. And I'm looking forward to it. Please be excited.
So much fun.
Less fun for Chris. Less fun for Chris. And you know what? That's a feature, not a bug. So we should also jump into what everybody has been playing this week. So Chris has been playing Aggro Grab, and he has been dying. But Sam, since you're not around as often, tell us what you've been playing lately.
So my main game of choice has been Final Fantasy Tactics. Mm-hmm. I am playing the Enhanced Edition. This will be like my 13th time playing Final Fantasy Tactics all the way through. It's my favorite Final Fantasy. Screw those numbered ones.
We're going to get emails.
I don't care, because I'm right. So,
as a fanatic, this is a correct opinion.
Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate. I'm in chapter 4, and I am on my way to deal with the Vampire of Limberry. So that's going to be a lot of fun when I deal with that battle.
I'm also in chapter 4, and I am having to stop before I do any vampire cleansing. because I really want to unlock Ninja and Dragoon on more characters.
Yeah.
I'm playing on easy, and so like the requirements for the game expecting you to have unlocked a fair amount of classes and abilities is like really relaxed compared to the more traditional difficulty level. So I've kind of been kinda slow nice. Rolling.
I've also been playing on easy, and I have very much appreciated that it has not required tons and tons of grinding to unlock all the.
No, that's been such a nice thing, especially even the, because there's always the one battle that everybody struggles with in chapter three, the Wheatgrass one.
Fuck that ceiling.
And it's one of those ones where like, it was the first time ever I had beaten it on my first try. Because I have this thing where I'm like, I know like you could cheese it, you could use auto potion on Ramza and he survives, or you could do like just make him a ninja and then just equip heavy armor on him. I like to go the other route, which is make him a knight and give him two swords. And I like to be like all sneaky sneaky and also have counter
stabby stabby.
And if I'm lucky enough, well that's it, if I'm lucky enough he goes in one hit.
And
if he doesn't, I'm just screwed.
I did have to cheese the rooftop battle a little bit because
that one can be really nasty too.
Yeah, just because I was having really bad luck because the guest character was walking towards the girls instead of away from them.
Rafa's dumb.
Yeah.
Like, the AI is still not that smart. I was like, no, we could have improved that.
AI reprogrammed from the ground up, but can't make Rafa smart.
No. Rafa, I know you have to babysit her a lot. And it's like, I don't want to babysit.
It's so frustrating.
It literally became my strategy when you would have those guest character maps where I'd just like watch at least like the first handful of turns to see what stupid thing they did. And then like, OK, just restart the map so then I can actually plan what to do.
Honestly, I mean, that sounds really smart.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like the only class I haven't unlocked yet is mime. I'm very close. But other than that, like I have been fiddling around with the dancer and the bard because I also want my chivos. I'm that person, I know.
My chivos.
I want my chivos. It's been so much fun though. Like, and I love the story. I'm liking the voice work they've done for it. Again, learning how to pronounce people's names was a little bothersome at first because I was like, as a child, I was like, I don't know how to say this name. It's Wygraff. Then I learned it was Wygraff, and I was like, wait. What?
Well, and it should be Vigroff.
Yeah.
That's kind of it, right? I'm like, but it's, they say it Wygraff.
Yeah, because it's the, like the English pronunciation and they mostly have English voice actors.
Yeah.
So in that I get, but
English, you mean Chris, like UK, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Capital E English.
Well, and it was same with like when I was a kid, because of the way the localization was, it was the same with Dice Dark. I'd be like, I don't know how to say this name. Like,
I don't think anybody does.
How do
does.
You say that?
I think I called him Dick Dark when I was
kid. I mean, that's the equivalent,
it entertains
right?
me to like, do so. More than the fact that I thought it was accurate.
Like, that's it. Like, I'm like, I don't know how some of these names came to be. Now, one thing I will laugh at is, like, I remember in the original localization, like, Argath's name was August.
Argus.
And the first time I played, War of the Lions, I was like, who's this? Oh, it's this Putz.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve a name at all.
Yeah, we don't like him.
We don't like him.
Heck,
he murdered
guy.
Innocent people. And for no good reason, other than, Ramza, I wanted you to be my best friend, and then you picked the dirty dog. How dare you?
You picked the commoner. How
Why
dare?
Did you pick the commoner? And
How
you're just like,
dare?
Oh, God, you're a little bitch.
I do love that, like, no matter how many iterations of tactics that we get, he is still a little bitch.
That's the
I
story.
I mean, there's a few of them who are, like, still on little bitch territory. But I am just, again, living my best life. I'm so happy to be playing it. The other game that I'm hoping to go back to this weekend is RoboCop. because RoboCop
like the Super Nintendo game, or
no? I've been playing Rogue City, and I want everyone to know it's actually a really good game.
Really?
Even though RoboCop can't run, he cannot run. He can only move very slowly. But the best part of the game is you can issue tickets. Like, there's like a bit in the game where you just walk around the city and it's like, they tell you to go do your duties. So you're walking around and it's like, oh no, that car is parked next to a fire hydrant. Ticket.
Oh Lord.
I can see the power fantasy appeal of that.
It absolutely does have that. It's just so much fun.
As you describe it, how is there not a game that's just you being a parking maid? You know, just going around giving people
tickets. Haven't had parking maid simulator?
Meter maid simulator?
I would play that.
That would be kind of fun.
People would want the police fantasy of being the police, which none of us clearly want. We just want to be able to be like, your car is illegally parked.
What was the game that we were watching the streamer play the other day, Chris, where he was throwing the guy out of the theater and then the car
ran him
over?
Oh, that was the theater manager game. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we were another watching this furry.
It's another
this, like,
crappy
quirky furry
game simulator. Yeah. Simulator
the,
game.
People are, do they just have like major ragdoll mechanics? And he caught someone in the theater on their phone, and he picked them up and
dragged them all the way out of the theater, through the lobby,
and then threw them onto the street. Yep. And then a car immediately came and ran them over. And like, he was just sort of sitting there in his little like rigging model, and like big bug on eyes, and like his little paw in front of his mouth. He was just like, "I didn't mean to do that." It was great. Sim games are the best.
Power wash.
What about spray paint simulator?
Duh?
That's a thing. I don't know.
I haven't seen a spray paint simulator, but who knows?
It's on Game Pass.
You mean you want what, the graffiti simulator?
No, spray paint simulator.
Spray paint simulator. I would play that.
The thing. It's another house flipper power washer style thing where you just paint things now.
Well, then why would I just play? I want to play Power Wash Simulator like that.
Because maybe you're done with that. Maybe you
finished. I mean, I'm not.
Okay. Chris, you are never done with Power Wash.
I was going to say you're never done with power. You just have to kind of make a decision to stop for a while.
It's the same way that you're never done with House Flipper.
I have not gotten into House Flipper because I know. I'm just gone.
It's going to be bad for your, it's going to be bad for your health.
Yes.
It's intoxicating.
I mean, you know what? It's also one of those things where there's a reason why I only install The Sims when I'm depressed. Because I know I'm lost at that point. It's like, well, I'm sad right now. Guess I'll play The Sims. It's not like I'm playing Sims 4, guys. No. I'm playing Sims 3.
I guess it depends on what kind of mood you're in, because like, I was in a pretty bad mood Thursday night and ended up booting up Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment just so that I could beat up things. And then last night, it's like, man, I like Hyrule Warriors, but I really just want to chill out tonight. So I booted up Power Wash Simulator and washed a ski resort all night.
See, like that.
I'm so excited. Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment has a Canadian-French voice acting. And it's just nice to, like, bask in the accent of home.
Oh my goodness. That's silly. I love it.
So yeah, different types of stress relief.
Well, that's I'm with you. Like, musos are actually great stress relievers, but sometimes, yeah, you're right. You're just like, I need to chill and not commit crimes. So I will play Power Wash because it means I am less likely to commit a crime.
The stream discovered there is a limit to the number of buttons that I can learn at once. Hyrule Warriors just throws so many different buttons at you to start that game that I was just like, what button am I doing again? And I had to like keep going into the tutorial menu to look things up.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But I mean, Sam.
Yes?
Sorry, I thought we were done. Simulator 2 is so good.
All right, so what you're telling me is I also need to buy that. My wallet's going to hurt, you know, after today. Thanks, guys.
I will say,
you know, the other way to relieve stress is just to apparently have a K-pop demon hunter party with a bunch of, you know, preteens. And then they tell you your dance moves suck.
Ah, the joys of being a librarian.
Yeah, but also I had to listen to Your Idol like 5 times. And ooh. I was still getting told my moves were just not K-pop enough.
They were not 6-7.
No, not at all. But, I mean, it's good stress relief dancing. Just, you know, maybe sorry, not Sam, the most popular movie, you know, of this year.
You are officially too old to be cool.
My youthful good looks have been gone for a while, so I guess I need to accept this. I just refuse, okay? I want to be, like, young and sexy forever. And I know that's not true because I'm surrounded by 26-year-olds. Mm. I'm like, damn it, you're all calling me auntie and I don't like this. Auntie, can you go punch that customer? No, that's assault. I'm like, guys, we need to talk about this. Be adults. I need you to be strong and yell at the customers yourself. But you're so good at it.
But you're so good at it.
I know. But also, I need you to be grown up. Let's grown up. Come on. You can do it. I spend a lot of time doing that. It's a lot of like, I need to encourage you to try your best at diffusing death.
Adulting.
A lot of them don't know how. It's both endearing and annoying at the same time.
That definitely is a skill that you have to kind of like develop.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I kicked out 20 teenagers on Tuesday.
Good Lord, why?
Because there was a fight between two girls, a beverage and a fist went at them, and it was not great. So we kicked the one set of girls out, and we let the facilities deal with the other one. Well, he put her in a room by herself, except she then invited 6 of her friends and then a bunch of boys. And then they were having wheelie chair races, and I caught them in the act. So let me tell you, that wheelie chair race got diffused so fast. And then a lot of them were going, but moose, moose, moose. And I'm like, I'm not a miss. Also, you're all being a bunch of toddlers. Do I need to treat you like toddlers?
Librarian Sam is scary.
Because guess what? My toddlers behave better than you. And you know what they do? Pick their noses at me.
That says the toddlers don't know how to misbehave correctly.
Sam really is scary.
Yeah, no. I become my mother.
Oh, no.
It's horrifying. I mean,
that's like, always a scary feeling.
Yeah, no, really. Like, it's that thing where it's like, when I'm with children and I'm doing story time stuff, like, my life is great and I'm, like, living my best life handing them shoes and stuff. But, like, teenagers, it's like, I want to empathize with you, but you're not making it easy. Can we talk about why my table is on top of a set of shelves? And then you're like, oh, we're bored. I'm like, that's nice. Get the fuck out of my building. Oh, but no. Just out. You done. And then they want fist bumps, and I'm like, no.
Josh, save us from the insanity. What have you been playing this week?
Well, other than FFT, I've been playing the most mid of mid games. I've been playing Outer Worlds 2.
Oh, wow.
That hurts to hear.
More mid than Starfield?
It's better than Starfield. Nothing's as mid as Starfield. I mean, come on now.
I needed a hierarchy for reference. So better than Starfield, but still mid.
Well, that was my problem with Starfield, was that it was just so average, so aggressively average that, you know, like it basically just puts you to sleep at night. It wasn't even bad in an entertaining way. It was just like, this is soulless and competent. I guess I could keep playing. Outer Worlds 2 at least has, you know, like, I think my problem with the first game was that it did not get the satire level right. You know, it was not subtle enough to be cutting, but it wasn't quite over the top enough to quite be funny. And different people had different opinions on that. Some people really, you know, like really enjoyed the game and the way the story worked. I felt like it needed, if it was going to go for humor, it needed to just go really crazy over the top. And if anything, in this one, they've kind of dialed it back slightly on that. You know, you are playing as an agent of the Earth Directorate. You're in a new solar system. So, you know, like they've kind of cut off any, well, at least so far in the game. I'm like 6-7 hours in. I haven't seen any, you know, strong connections to the first game. Like you're investigating these rifts that are forming based upon the technology that they use to transit around. And the two kind of like bad, or the two different factions they set up is like this protectorate that controls the system, which are like extremely over the top totalitarian. You know, like everyone is just afraid of getting liquidated or getting their mind wiped. The only entertaining part of that is like going into people's emails and like reading them and
emails.
Then like, oh yeah, there's lots of email reading, Chris. And whenever you're reading protectorate emails, it's like they'll have the first draft of it with what's actually happening, and then it's like, oh god, I've got to sanitize this for my boss. So, you know, you know, I can't say that I retreated. We were successfully advanced to the rear, and you know, like we, you know, instead of saying that 12 people were killed, we miraculously had 6 people survived, and you know, like it's that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff is fun. You know, the gameplay in it is like fun Western RPG. You get to set up your character. You get to you know, kind of decide how you want to tackle things. Do you want him to be someone who's going to, you know, like kind of, you know, like you can set up a character to be all physical attacks. You can set up a character who's just going to talk his way through situations. You can set up a character who's going to sneak around and you know, bypass the main quests in the game, or bypass the main enemies in the game that way. So all of that, all of the mechanical stuff is fun. Playing it on PC, you know, like our reviewer had a rough time playing it on PS5 with lots of bugs. I haven't experienced any yet, really, on PC. It has been very smooth and rock solid, and I haven't even really run across any. I remember playing the game, the first game, even quite a ways after it launched. I'm trying to remember now. I think I played that on Xbox. And even then, it still had a number of bugs, and, you know, you would have missions where you couldn't, you know, like you'd pick it up and then you just couldn't finish it because, like, the person you needed to talk to just wouldn't be where they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
Kind of that kind of stuff. I haven't experienced any of that yet, but then again, I am still kind of on the first planet, kind of poking around. The characters in the game, at least so far, are kind of the interesting part. That's what's kind of carrying me along. Like the choices between, you know, the faction of the Protectorate who are just like super totalitarian, and now like Spacer's choice from the first game has been taken over in a corporate takeover, and now it's Auntie's choice.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Poor Spacer's choice. Oh my god, are they going to be are they a part of like the Unilever of like corporate conglomerates?
Yeah, basically. So Auntie is going there is an actual Auntie, and she's going to be obviously one of the people. Like I've already seen her in the game talking to some of the underlings. So yeah, she has taken over. And so now everything is Auntie's choice instead of Spacer's choice. You know, like it's your choices between, you know, a lot of the early on stuff is like choosing, like, do you want to side with the crazy totalitarian regime, or do you want to side with Auntie's choice, you know, the super corporatist regime? And it's like, you know, not really awesome choices either way.
It's not the best choice. It's Auntie's choice.
The most interesting part, though, is like they have set up like this part. So the very first mission you do, you're going to investigate these rifts that are being caused, and you have the Protectorate, the Earth Directorate has like an agent on the inside. And so you're working your way, you got your little spy mission, you're going along, and then it turns out at the end that the agent who was on the inside has gone, has kind of like joined up with this religious cult. Kind of like wants to see the world through the basically through the eyes of math, and she believes that like that kind of like the math that she sees like dictates that she basically has to blow up the station that you're on. And so
as math does,
you know, the equations say, you know, I have to do this. This is how it works. So the rest of the game so far, at least, has been like trying to follow her, because the main character just barely manages to escape, but kind of gets stuck in hibernation for 10 years. And now you're kind of like picking up the story, trying to track her down. And so that part of the story is kind of still working for me, like the you know, it's uncovering what the heck is this religious cult, the Order, and what their beliefs are and what it is she was actually trying to accomplish by like blowing up this station and creating this giant rift that is like slowly kind of like swallowing the system that you're in. You know, it's a weird game, because like the gameplay mechanics are solid. And it's, you know, like it's entertaining to play from moment to moment as a Western RPG. I haven't played a Western RPG in a bit. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's satisfying that itch. It feels a lot like the first game. Like, I'm not blown away by it, but it is entertaining enough to keep going with, which is more than I can say for Starfield, which was just one of the most, you know, mid experiences I've ever had in a video game. Maybe that just goes to this point, Obsidian being better than Bethesda.
At that sort of social commentary, maybe.
Yeah.
Mediocre social commentary.
Don't rub it in. All right, Chris.
Hi.
What have you been playing this week, and how many times have you died so far?
3 or 4. It's not that bad. I did take a lot of damage from stationary objects recently, though.
From stationary objects?
Yeah.
Chris, are you running face first into things?
Maybe. Crab first?
Ooh.
I don't know. The games I played this week, pretty similar to last week, I think. Did some more leveling up in tactics, still in chapter one, because forever chapter one.
That's forever chapter one.
So nothing interesting to talk about there other than, you know. Oh, right. I did think of something interesting. I was having a lot of trouble leveling up my characters reliably. I'd have to start maps over a lot because somebody would die. And if you're leveling up characters, you don't want any of them to die, because that kind of defeats the point. And then I just kind of realized at some point that I should just not play on tactician difficulty, especially for leveling up, because I don't think it's really designed or balanced around... like I think you were telling me the other day, like the game, once you get to higher levels, like it also expects you to have better gear than you have.
And yes.
So that it just, things aren't working out. everyone's one-shotting my team, even if they're close in levels to them. And so like it's very, very awkward and annoying. And then I just turned it down to regular difficulty, and it's like, oh my gosh, this game makes sense again. Now it's balanced. It works. Yeah, I'm over leveled, but like the game's fine. So I put it on normal, and it's like it's a night and day difference. I don't even need it on easy or anything. It's just like just normal, and it's fine now. So I think I'm gonna play it on whatever it is, knight instead of tactician.
It's fine now. It's fine now. Everything's fine now.
It just is. It just feels better, and you have options, and you can make some mistakes and like not have to start the whole battle over. Yeah, it was fine. But while I was also doing that, at some point this week, I finished Ball X Pit. I rolled credits on it. I've unlocked the end game, or the post game, which is just harder levels, continue to level up your city and get even more crazy overpowered and just demolish those harder levels and stuff. So that's fun to dip into now and then. Continue playing Mega Bonk, where I'm unlocking more achievements and quests. That's another one that I've had a full complete run in finally, so I don't need to dump time into trying to at least kill the last boss of a level once, because now I have. And yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking like the focus should now be on, and this is part of why I switched the difficulty as well, is like it's time to make progress through tactics and then move on to something else. I don't know. I'm kind of soon to be between games. What also came out last week, last Friday, and multiple people I know are playing it and I haven't started, it's the new Path of Exile season. This time you have a tree and the tree gives you treasure and you can grow the tree and then get more treasure, and the tree itself has a skill tree. So you have a tree for your skill tree. Your little tree has a skill tree.
It's a metaphorical tree.
Yeah, the tree. And so you your tree, I guess it's a lady. People call it the trussy. I'm not going to explain that.
No.
You feed your trussy and then you get treasure. And
thanks.
Then,
I hate it.
Yeah. So I'm gonna just I'm thinking about playing it, but I haven't logged in yet because I'm worried, like, will it distract me from playing other games for the rest of the year? You know, and I don't want that either.
So, all right. We'll here's the deal, Chris. You may play this PoE season if I never have to hear the word trussy ever again.
Oh yeah. See, so I can't play it then. That's not an option.
That's the deal. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, all right.
I do not alter the deal.
I'm leaving it. No. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't feed it. You fertilize it, and it gives womb gifts. Oh, God.
Ooh. All right.
Chris, thanks, David.
I need to take Chris out back and beat him.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm going to go back to Dine and Crab Souls.
My casts were a mistake.
I too have rolled credits on ball slash pit. And I'm about to roll credits on the new game plus mode.
Because
I have my last characters doing the automatic run right now while we're talking, but they keep dying. How'd you like that trippy ending, Chris?
Yeah, I don't know what happened in the ending. Like, I have no clue if the story even is meant to be, like, completed. It's like, I feel like the story was just, here's a setup for this weird-looking in place you're going to be interacting with, and then the story is, like, acid trip. Or the ending is, here's an acid trip. Cool. Bye. Here's credits. Like, yeah, okay, what? Play more. Okay.
Characters end up in a spaceship. Everything goes all rainbowy.
Yep. No, seizure. Don't spoil it. I guess.
Oh. I mean, nothing
really
happens.
A spoiler. Yeah, that's a good point. Nothing happens.
Like I said, I was running a lot of my characters in the passive mode to unlock those last levels. So all of a sudden, I look down at my Steam Deck, and it's like, wow. What's going on here? Everything's all trippy and weird. And okay, credits. Awesome. And
that sounds
and,
like a wonderful experience.
And yeah, in the new game plus mode, you have to run like 8 characters through each level to unlock the next level.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, you could easily do it by either doubling up on just 2 different characters or have one matched up with the one that automatically plays the game and have it running while you're doing something else. Either way, you can get through that pretty easily with some upgrades. And I finally got my town in a place where it's optimized because... There's one building that if you put the passive bonuses next to the buildings, then you get like a +1 to those passive bonuses. The stat points, I believe, is what it is. So I've got all those placed, and then those ones that you can upgrade indefinitely, I have next to the building that gives you a bonus if you hit the building during the harvest mode. while all the characters are kind of bouncing around the map. And then all of this is like around like fully maxed out wheat fields and quarries and that stuff. So basically every run I can get a bunch of resources all at once and try to upgrade what I can. I don't know if I should take a screenshot of this layout and send it to you so that you can use it, or if you're just kind of done with the game.
I mean, general. I've got thousands and thousands of resources. What I need is gold generation, other than gold mines, because it's a little slow.
See, I've had no trouble with gold just running characters through the levels.
Oh, you know what, actually? This week they patched it, and I was playing some last night, and the patch helps a lot with the market. The market prices don't go crazy anymore and take forever to regenerate. So now I am able to sell a bunch of extra stuff. The patch notes are really long. They changed. There are a lot of things that were broken, like Cyriel, the guy who was merging a ball with itself to cheat. That was a bug, and they patched it. So like, there's a lot of stuff they fixed. So you should try it out after the patch, which came out on Thursday or Friday. So see if that see how the game feels now. It might be a little different.
Yeah, because I need to if that's the case, I need to back out of the game on my Steam Deck. Yes. And then let it update.
Yes.
Because I've just had it in sleep mode, or put it in sleep mode this whole time while I've been playing. But I'm ready for this game to end. It's so fun.
I am sad to learn that there is no mouse controls on the Switch 2.
For Ball X Pit? You don't want
them. Yeah.
You don't need them, rather.
I don't need them, but I thought that would be a cool thing to do.
You don't want to use that mouse. That controller is a mouse thing. Hurts your arm.
Have you tried using the Switch 2 with my little dingy wingies?
No, I watched somebody else use it, play Mario Paint on it, and it hurt as much as I figured it would, for them at least. Oh, I'm wrong, maybe.
God, I need to boot up Mario Paint just for some nostalgia. I played the crap out of that game when I was a kid. It's pretty much how I took to Photoshop so well as an adult.
Yeah, the other person I was watching play it with a mouse was an artist, and the nostalgia is better than the reality.
No, I imagine so. But you can learn to do pixel art with only 16 colors.
Mm, great.
I've also been playing a lot of Power Wash Simulator. Just chilling out with that. I really like some of the neat things that they've done with the visualizing in the sequel, because in the ski resort level, you start out in the ski lift that takes you to the top. I mean, it's not moving or anything, but you start out in that, and everything's all black because the windows are nasty. And once you get the windows cleaned off, you can kind of see, like, okay, the rest of the level is outside. And the game doesn't let you outside until you finish cleaning up the inside of the ski lift. So, kind of slowly revealing the rest of the level by cleaning it was kind of a neat touch.
That does sound pretty cool.
There was another level where you're cleaning the inside of a temple. And as I'm cleaning this, it's like, wait, I'm almost done and I'm only at 50%. Well, once you hit 50%, this hidden room opens at the bottom of the temple.
What?
You have to clean the secret chamber that has an iPhone on an altar for some reason. to be honest, I haven't been paying attention to the story as much because the text is really small, especially in I'm playing this on Switch 2, and especially in handheld hub mode, so I haven't been read, because you get text messages while you're cleaning. And I haven't been paying attention to the story as much because it's been hard to read the text messages. So I have no idea. I have no idea if this temple / cult is going to come to play later. but that was kind of a neat touch. And then there's another one where you're cleaning a movie theater and I clean up, I clean the window to the projector booth, and all three of the cats are in the projector booth. Because I told you guys about the cats last week, didn't I?
Toot.
Basically, the first game had cats in it, and the cats come with you pretty much each level, unless it's an indoor level. For some reason, they don't follow you in the indoor level. But seeing that they were all in the projector booth made me wonder if they hide in other areas of the indoor levels, and you have to go find them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I might have to replay some of those indoor levels just to see. But every level, I don't start until I find all three cats and pet them once.
I pet the kitties.
This is the correct way to play. Why would you play any other way?
And I also think that there's supposed to be like hidden objectives, too, that I haven't found out about yet. Because I got stuck in a level, because there's a bug right now in the theater level where you can't move the scissor lifter out of the way, and you have to clean under the rug that's there, so you kind of have to like really trick shot your power washer under it to finish that level. And while I was Googling that, it said, here's all the hidden objectives in Power Wash Simulator 2, so it makes me wonder if you have to, I don't know, do stuff, because there's a lot of like extra real estate with things, and a lot of levels have hidden garden gnomes that you have to, that you can find, but it's not clear what their purpose is. So I'm going to have to do some more investigating, but Power Wash Simulator 2 is an absolute blast. And Sam, if you played 1, you're going to love 2, because they fixed a lot of the issues.
Oh, thank goodness.
That there is a little cursor now that shows you exactly where you missed. So that you can kind of narrow down, okay, where is this little obscure little part, instead of, you know, just clicking on it in the objectives menu and playing like, okay, where's the flashing? What's a
where's
Y-strat?
Where's my flashing? Oh yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. So being able to find those itty bitty spots that you missed is so much easier in the sequel.
I'm so happy to hear that.
And the scissor lift is also really handy for cleaning. I like it a lot better than the scaffolding, just because you can really dial in the height of how high or low you need to be to get some of those corners, like in huge houses.
Yeah, that is already just amazing. Like, that is a perfect change, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I agree with you with the scaffolding. It was kind of annoying to try to figure out where you needed to place it, or even just how high you needed to go, because sometimes they would give you what they thought was the highest amount, and you'd be like, I hope I have the extender.
Yeah.
I can't reach.
Now, granted, the scissor lift only goes so high, and there's some levels that I did still need the scaffolding. I cannot remember if the scaffolding in the first game had a ladder on the side.
No.
Okay, so the scaffolding in this game has a ladder on the side, so if you want to just set it somewhere and climb the ladder, you can do that. Some levels also have one of those pulley things that you use to clean billboards. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
I vaguely.
It's like a big swing that you can use to basically freely move around a big flat plane.
Okay.
Like one of the first levels that it shows up in is a billboard. So you use that to basically free move all the way around the billboard all the way up and down the billboard so that you don't have to mess with ladder placement there, because on that particular billboard, you're climbing all the way up on the platform and you can't exactly bring a ladder up there.
Yeah.
So the pulley system makes that cleaning job a lot easier, and the pulley system shows up in other levels like the ski resort that I just did. And I find the pulley system a little bit hard to control, but that's what I like about this game, is that they give you so many different options for maneuverability that you can kind of just pick and choose what's most comfortable for you. Whether you just want to hang off a ladder or whether you want to like use the ladder to jump up on objects to try to get into the corners. Advanced power wash simulator play style technique.
I'm dying so frequently. Vaughn is having troubles reporting my deaths to the bot because the bot thinks he's spamming it.
The game hit a difficulty spike, did it?
Huh?
Did you get a shell yet?
I've had many shells.
Okay.
Lots of cans.
They're mostly cans, yeah.
And I also booted up Age of Imprisonment. Hyrule Warriors 3. I'm going to devote more time to that this weekend.
I am going to be streaming that later today. No, tomorrow. Tomorrow.
How far did you get,
Andy? Not super far, because I played for 3 hours.
Okay.
I think my characters are just shy of level 20.
Yeah, that's about what my characters are, too. I have not unlocked Queen Sonya yet, though I'm sure that her unlocking is going to be showing up soon. I think I just encountered Ganondorf.
Interesting to me that the king, Rao Rao, is not your ancestor. It's the tech girl that's your ancestor.
Huh. Puru? Or Puru? Or...
No. What is her name? I'm sure you've met her, right? She's the one that does all the construct stuff.
Minoru.
Yes. She's your ancestor. It's not Rao Rao.
Yeah, that's Raro's sister.
Older sister. And that's the thing that annoys me. It's like, if she's the older sister, why is he the king?
Because there's no queen?
Male privilege?
Bess, is this really spoilers? Do we?
No, because this is like the first 3 hours of the game, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, Fess is the one who said it was spoilers, so don't blame me.
Yeah, they definitely made up for the fact that Minoru, when you unlock her in Tears of the Kingdom, is kind of lame. Because you unlock her as a companion, but she doesn't really do a whole lot. I ended up just turning her right off because she just got in the way. But in this game, the fact that she uses nothing but Zonai constructs as a...
As all of her attacks?
Yeah.
There is one attack that you can get where she's on top of a little car.
Mm-hmm.
The little flat car thing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you seen the little Yahaha come back with his companion?
Yeah, the Korok?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is a named Korok.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. He's voiced by Sungwon Cho, who's one of my favorite voice actors.
Who?
You've seen him, you just don't know his name.
Yeah, he was a Vine star that became a very
famous What is he voiced?
Have you watched Dungeon Meshi?
Dungeon Meshi?
Delicious in Dungeon?
No, I need to.
It's so good!
That's where most people would know him. He's the dwarf in Delicious in Dungeon. In the
Suwon Cho.
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of my favorite voice actors because he started out as a Vine star whose vines cracked me up, and now he's in a whole bunch of video games and TV shows now.
He's in apologize. Ranma. Oh, go ahead. He's in the new Ranma?
Yes, he's Moose.
Oh, for
Which
real?
Makes it the best. Oh. He's the duck. Yes.
I need to watch that.
And the new Ranma is so good, and everyone should watch it.
like whenever I'm trying to relate a voice actor to my husband, I always try to figure out who they play in One Piece. And I looked it up, but it's like, oh my god, Sungwon Cho plays Cat Viper, who's my new favorite One Piece character, because he's a big fluffy cat. So, but yeah. I wonder what's going on with that kind of construct companion that's with the named Korok. He looks kind of like Link.
Yes, suspiciously. And he has a sword. My favorite part is, and hopefully this isn't a spoiler because it does happen within the first couple of hours, he gets rockets. Me controlling something that's rocket propelled. Surely nothing will go wrong.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And the fact that you can get different Zonai items to use in battle
is cool.
And set the game so that you automatically use the batteries to recharge them.
So that is so nice. I have it set up so that it uses rations, and I do manually use my batteries, although considering how frequently battery renewals are thrown at your face, I'm probably just going to turn on the automated battery renewals, because I never feel like I'm going to be short.
Mm-hmm. You're always short.
Listen, you can shoosh. You can shoosh. The only thing that I'm a little met on is I did leave the tutorials on because they do the pop-ups, because they do remind me what buttons do what, and I forget frequently. Mm-hmm. But it would like you to know that if you place a frost thing near water, it's more effective. Oh, it reminds you of that just a little too frequently.
So it's a Nintendo Zelda game.
Listen, you.
Saying they've been doing it for years and we've been complaining and they never changed it.
You're saying all the wrong things, Chris, aren't you?
Okay, sorry.
Are you dead yet?
I died so many times. I'm on another boss. He's kicking my butt.
I'm just saying, do you really want to fight your husband?
Chris, I forgot to pick up my souls. No! My microplastics. No!
Hey, Chris.
What?
Grubhub just emailed me and said there's BOGO nugs all weekend.
Oh, boy. Isn't there always BOGO nugs?
Do you need BOGO nugs?
No.
I mean, why would I not have BOGO nugs?
Because you shouldn't be eating so much McDonald's. You gotta get off this McDonald's stuff, Andy.
Fine. So picky.
I get it.
Godfather's was trying to give me my own DoorDash bag yesterday.
What?
And I was kind of sitting there with my pizza bag that I bought from Amazon, and it's like, no, I'm good, because I already have enough issues with when I walk in and people think I am DoorDash because of my pizza bag.
Jeez,
that's pretty amazing.
I don't know. Maybe I would get preferential treatment if I had the DoorDash bag, and
or the opposite, maybe,
or the opposite.
Oh, jeez!
I died again.
I know some places don't like DoorDashers because they just cut in line, and
yep.
I don't want to have that stigma on me. I wait patiently for my carryout order like a gentlewoman, but still. It drives me crazy because I'm like, guys, you can buy pizza bags on Amazon. But I digress. Sorry, your Grubhub comment made me think about that.
You're good.
I plan on playing more Age of Imprisonment. I think the game runs so much better than Age of Calamity.
A lot of people in the Twitch chat yesterday were talking about the fact that it looks so smooth on Switch 2.
What about Age of Calamity or Tears of the Kingdom on Switch 2? Does that not look good?
I don't know.
I haven't played that yet.
Okay. So it's just the Switch 2 more than anything else, not the game.
Correct.
I just know that one of the biggest complaints about Age of Calamity was it's how it ran. And that's why most people didn't like that game, even though it was like.
Does that have a Switch 2 version?
I don't know. I mean, you would think that they would have just pooped out a Switch 2 version just so that people could get caught up, but who knows?
Caught up with a non-canon game?
Yeah.
I think it matters if it's non-canon.
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
But that game is so good. And one more thing before I move on, Chris, I did confirm just now, if you beat Ball Pit and New Game Plus, it just unlocks New Game Plus Plus.
No way. So, no. There's another level. How many levels does it go?
I I don't know. I backed out of the game. I'm marking it done and putting it on my list of completed games for the year so that I can move on with something else. Because given the choice, I could play that indefinitely if I wanted to, because it's so good. But yeah, just wanted to let you know you're not missing much if you don't continue.
What if you need to finish New Game Plus Plus and then the cool thing happens? We can just keep justifying this, Kelly.
I'm pretty sure that the game is just going to be plus, plus, plus all the way around in trippy spaceship sequences. But I just thought you'd want to know. It just keeps going. Though I wonder if there's like a bunch more gold reward and resource rewards and stuff by doing the higher pluses you get. Well, I killed the stream.
I think that's everything that everybody has been playing.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had Skittles in my mouth.
We had one piece of feedback, which I forgot to put what the question was. Oh, that's what I get for being easily distracted. What did we ask last week? It was something about life hacks. What's the one thing in your life that's really dumb but also really useful?
Hey, Sam. What's the one thing in your life that's really dumb but also ridiculously useful?
That's not what we asked, is it?
That's a good question.
Because we were talking about your stand, Chris.
Oh.
And I was talking about the pillow that I sleep on last week.
That's why.
Sam,
okay.
Here is my dumb thing that is ridiculously useful. I sleep on my side. The pillow that I was putting between my knees was always falling out from between my legs. I found a pillow that has straps in it. You put your leg through the straps and then the pillow stays still.
That's fascinating.
I'm going to add another one. Our new toilet seat is heated. Every other toilet feels so cold now.
How dare it be cold? I don't know. I don't know about, like, do I have a life hack? Like, I'm trying to think, and nothing's coming to mind right away.
I found a thing that augmented Chris's stand so that his Steam Deck no longer falls on his face and his phone isn't forever falling out of the holder.
It's called the mechanism, and I had to buy some stuff to convert my stand to work with it, but it was a good change.
That sounds like a negative thing, because that thing sounds like that would be fun to watch it fall on Chris's face all the time.
Shush. Yeah, but I mean, then he's frustrated and sad.
And then the cat walks by, taps it with her tail, and then it falls on my face, and it's just the worst.
And like, that's really funny and entertaining, but also Chris gets very mad when I laugh at him.
Mine was the $20 truck funnel for cleaning the litter box.
For cleaning out the litter boxes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Sam does not have anything like that, come to think of it.
Sam needs cute, fun things in her life.
Well, I mean, I have Willow. Right?
That's
but
true.
Also, this is going to sound bad, but like, environmentalist Sam tries to bring very little into the house.
No, that's pretty valid.
So it's one of those things where, like, what I will say is, so my husband, God love him, he'll find random things on the side of the road, and he'll bring them home, and we'll usually clean them out and whatnot, and he found this giant Big Bubba water bottle.
Okay.
So the doctor told me when I was there on Wednesday, she's like, you need to drink more water. I'm like, I already drank like 64 ounces, like, what do you want from me? So the Big Bubba is 40.
And so you drink two of those a day?
Two of those a day, and Scott's just like, God, you're the worst. And I was like, why? He's like, because you let the water lobby come after you and you let it win.
Yeah. My my trainer has hydration. Just like, my trainer just like has a whole rant about the stupidity of how many glasses of water people need to drink in a day. How it's all baloney.
It's all, yeah. You get the water elsewhere. Like, you need water. There's an amount of water you need. You don't get it just by drinking water bottles.
Yeah, like 90% of people that are drinking tons of water and paranoid that they're not getting enough water are drinking more water than they need to. And there's nothing wrong with that. Well, but there is just like this culture of you do not drink enough water. You are starving yourself of water. Why are you dehydrating yourself all the time? And it's like that applies to basically nobody unless you're like a long distance runner. That's the people that are underhydrating.
I feel like the problem is that because we're nerds and we get hyper focused on our nerdy things, mm-hmm. that we forget to hydrate. Could that be an issue?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, for us, we're seeing it on streamers, right? Who are spending 8 hours sitting at a computer forgetting to drink anything. That's relevant for that.
Like, it's the combination of two things. If you're fairly sedentary, the amount of liquids that you get out of your food is probably pretty accurate, adequate. But talking, you need to drink. Mm.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, I have so much fruit and veg, so I'm just like...
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know! Nobody cares. Dumb things and life hacks, and I'm just like, closest thing I have is the Big Bubba.
The Big Bubba.
But no, I mean...
I died again.
I don't know, I'm not...
This boss is hard.
I am
hard.
Not good at life hacks, okay? I've become a grandma that just wants to bake and, like, make chili every day.
Mmm. Mmm.
Sounds tasty.
I mean, I'm no Scott.
Chili and cornbread? Can we do that at your place?
I mean, I can ask Scott. He's the master of the cornbread.
The important question, as a Southerner, do you put sugar in the cornbread?
I don't know if he does.
Because cornbread is such not... A... That's blasphemy, and that's cake, then.
Okay, because then I'm going to be honest. Like, cornbread is not a Canadian thing.
No, that's a Southern thing.
It's exactly. So I'm like, I don't know if he does. We make a lot of our own bread. Like, I've been yelling at him to make jalapeno and cheese loaf for a while. Hasn't done it yet.
See, my family put sugar in cornbread, but they were from the South. But they also gaslit me my whole life that that spaghetti was actually like the seashell spaghetti and not the noodles.
What?
And discovering that, like, no, that's not true. Spaghetti is noodles. Kind of, I don't know, threw my whole life into question about what proper food should be.
Poor Kelly. How dare they lie to you?
I don't even think it was necessarily a lie, as like Dad preferred the seashells with the red sauce than the noodles, and I hated that version of spaghetti more than anything. So
macaroni. Spaghetti is not a great shape for most pasta dishes, but it's somehow became the default.
Yeah.
But that's a nerdy food thing.
I like food.
Because he also insisted on it being mixed instead of, like, you know, doing your proportions of noodle and red sauce, too.
That's how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to mix in the pasta with your sauce.
Oh, I thought that you were supposed to, like, have it separate.
No.
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 What do you mean separate,
you
Kelly?
You need to mixerate.
Like, you usually pasta, the noodle goes on the dish, then the sauce goes on top of the pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not separate. They're touching.
I mean, they like insisted on mixing it like in the pot instead of letting
you. You can. Okay. Yeah. So Andy, you want to explain marrying the pasta and the sauce? Is that a, you want to do that for us?
On this podcast? No.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that's called marrying the pasta with the sauce. When I grew up, we didn't always do that, but that's a thing. And I forget why you do it. I think it's just to make everything mesh together better on your plate. I don't know.
Yeah, the pasta kind of grabs the sauce then. And then everything is kind of like evenly sauced.
You don't like dump the whole thing of sauce into the spaghetti pot. You do. There's a marriage, so there's a little bit and then
a little bit of that. Yeah. And if you're doing it, you know, like if you're fancy, you take a little bit of pasta water and add it in, get the consistency right, and add a little cheese. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay, we need to. Well, that's our question of the week. How do we cook the pasta and marry the sauce?
Well, I'm glad I'm not Italian, because I would just be excommunicated from the Italian community with how bad I had been messing up pasta this whole time, apparently.
Yes, you would, as the Italian who's here.
Luckily, I'm Dutch, so...
I'm Italian.
I don't know if that matters, though. How Italian are you? Where are you from?
Palermo. I'm from Rochester, New York, but, like, we get to Sicily in the
You mean you're from Sicily?
Yeah.
You're Sicilian.
Yeah. But also Italian. It's half an... Listen, we did the test. Do we trust the tests? Do we trust the DNA test for this? What does it matter? I mean, why do I need Italian genetics to comment on pasta sauce?
Look.
Why are we gatekeeping pasta?
You need to understand that if you had said anything but Sicilian, we would have had to have a different conversation about how, you know, you're lower than the Sicilians. When I was a child, my grandmother used to get mad at my aunt because the next door neighbors to her house were from the Calabrese region. My grandma goes, "We don't speak to those people. Why are you speaking to them?" My aunt would go, "Because they're the neighbors." She's like, "Yeah, but they're from Calabria. Like, we don't touch that. Like, we don't do that. They do things wrong." So Italians are stupid, but also like, and very gatekeepy. So
oh god. So when I used to live in St. Louis, I would go down to the Italian. There were a bunch of Italian markets down in the Italian part of town, and you know, if you went on the weekend, it was lots of people from the burbs out there going and shopping. But if you went on like a Wednesday during the week, everyone in the shop would just be speaking Italian. All the people who were, you know, everybody who was working there, everybody who was buying there. And so I wander through, I get all my stuff, I get up to the checkout, and during the week it'd always be the old grandma who was doing the checkout, and she'd just start, you know, rattling off in Italian, and I'd just be like, "Oh, you know, sorry, I don't speak any Italian, I only speak English," and she'd get really mad at me, you know, like a big scowl on her face, like, what are you doing here? Yeah, I'll take your money, but I'm not gonna be happy about it.
Oh yeah, no. The power of the pouty nonna. It's a thing. When I was a teenager, we had an incident where Jehovah's Witnesses came to our door, and I was technically babysitting my grandmother, but my dad told her obviously that it was the other way around. My parents had gone out for the day. She opens the door for the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're trying to sell her on being a Jehovah's Witness, and she's trying to tell them she doesn't speak any English. And I'm just watching from the top of the stairs. I'm like, I need to see where this goes before I intervene. She threw her shoe at them, like just pulled her slippers off because they were not understanding that, like, she didn't want to talk to them. And so she threatened them with the shoe and they bolted. And I was like, yep, no, that's perfect. The right answer. So I know that when I'm old, I'm going to probably be that person.
Watch out for shoes.
Watch out for flying shoes.
I just imagine that the story that those poor people told later.
Oh yeah, that they got attacked by a flying slipper?
Like, this crazy lady, first she yelled at us in Italian, and then she threw a shoe at us.
Yeah, my best friend at the time also had to deal with the fact that when her dad would come pick her up, my grandmother would give him the death glare and would be holding a spoon. And he'd be like, "Does your grandmother hate me?" And I'd be like, "No, this is just her way of saying hi." She doesn't smile, because most Italian grandmas don't smile. They scowl.
Mm-hmm. Was your grandmother feral?
No! She was just convinced that, like, you know, people... Like, she was not the social one of my two grandparents. My grandfather was. My grandfather was a different problem. I mean, he allowed children to do a bunch of illegal things that they shouldn't have been doing at young ages. I got left at the park by myself at 3. My mom screamed at him. She's like, "Where's Samantha?" And he goes, "She's right behind me." And then I was just at the park, so it was fine. My brother drove a car into the garage door because my grandfather left the car running. He called my dad and he's like, "Hey, like, you know, did you make some money today?" And my dad goes, "Why?" And he goes, "Oh, well, Justin drove into the garage door." And my dad's like, "Is he okay?" He's like, "Yeah, but my garage door isn't."
But the garage door isn't.
And my dad goes, okay. And then he goes, well, I think I'm going to put it through insurance. And my dad goes, so you want to be charged with child negligence? He's like, just bring money.
Like, just bring money.
And then the last story relating to my cousin is he let her climb onto the roof of my aunt's shed because he went to go talk to the neighbor. So my cousin was apparently waving from the top of the shed. Being like, hello, no, no. And he's like, how did Katerina get up on the shed? That's amazing. And my aunt's screaming, why'd you let her get up on the shed?
That's not amazing.
Yeah, so I have very stupid Italian relatives. How I'm a well-adjusted human being now, different story.
Now, but wait a second. Citation needed.
Yes.
No, that was it. That was the joke. Okay. That was the joke. Well-adjusted citation.
Just, when I think of our generation and how our parents like borderline neglected us, I wonder how the hell we're still alive.
Pretty much, right?
Like, and it wasn't like malicious or anything. It's just back then, kids were left to their own devices. Ask any 80s or 90s kid about being a latchkey kid and we'll have stories.
Well, and there's always some really fun and funny stories about like the cultural divide between my mom's side of the family and my dad's side of the family. Because I guess in most European countries, it's pretty typical to just like leave a baby in a stroller outside. And I think to most Americans and to a lot of Canadians, that sounds insane. Like, you don't really do that, right? No, they 100% do. And so, like, my dad's mom, my grandmother, who's English, like, she would just stick us in a carrier and shove us out the door. And this really bothered my mother.
I mean, how long are we talking? 5 minutes or 5 hours?
Oh, no, not long. Just for, like, a nap.
Okay.
But that's just a normal day for most European countries, and not normal in North America.
No.
Again, case in point, child driving into a garage door. Yeah, no. I like surprised truthfully that my parents let my grandfather babysit us ever again after that one. But he was so insistent he wouldn't make the same mistake again. Uh-huh. And then he did.
I promise not to make the same mistake again. Proceeds to make the same mistake again.
Exactly. He'd also be like, I'm going to roughhouse with the dog. And there was an incident where like my dog bit his thumb. Apparently he went to go smack her, and so she bit the other thumb.
Good girl.
And there's my dad going, so what did you learn? He's like, I was trying to play fight the way you do. And he was like, yeah, but... You did it wrong.
You
did it wrong.
Yeah. The life of being a Marcello, let me tell you, is a gong show. I can look back now and go, wow, my family's... And again, my mother was Scottish, so she had no patience for like half the shit my Italian relatives did. She'd be like, why are they being stupid? My dad's like, what do you mean? She's like, that's stupid. Everything they do is stupid.
Hey.
Like, well, no, my mom had no patience, had a temper tantrum every 2 minutes, and I'm pretty sure that's why she didn't have high blood pressure.
Mm. That's why she and didn't.
If you get it all out, there's nothing left to raise the blood pressure. I don't think that's how that works.
No.
Are you sure?
No. I think I might be right on this.
So that's what I mean when I say I'm turning into my mother.
No, no.
So, feedback.
Yes.
We had one, and this sort of ties into our water discussion a little bit, from Strawberry Eggs. I can't think of anything dumb, but I know a useful life hack if you're a little anemic or just want to donate blood, and your iron levels don't meet the minimum levels for donation. Take iron tablets with orange juice or something high in vitamin C. Also, avoid anything high in fiber, coffee, or tea at least an hour before or after taking iron. Vitamin C helps your body absorb more iron, while coffee, tea, and high fiber foods inhibit absorption. You also don't want to take iron. If you don't want to take iron tablets because they may cause constipation. Try high iron foods with vitamin C, like beef and broccoli, or an omelet with tomatoes and spinach.
Ooh.
That food makes hacks. A level of sense, actually. I am intrigued by this. Thank you for the useful information, Strawberry Eggs. We are all intrigued by this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, in general, more people just need more vitamin C and D. Mm-hmm. Especially if you live in a place where, like, daylight savings is happening, and then you're like, it's so dark. And I'm so cold.
Oh, wait, that's me this right photo now. And I don't like it.
I've had to make multiple cups of tea today already.
Most people don't need any vitamin supplements. Most people have enough.
We ordered breakfast from a frou-frou coffee place, and we both got two drinks. I got a green tea with white chocolate and lavender syrups, and then I also got a matcha latte that I'm going to throw over ice very shortly.
Yum, nice. Yum, 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 yum. Oh, I love me some tea. I may totally re-steep this bag. I usually don't drink bagged tea, but I'm feeling a little lazy.
So I don't think we have a question of the week this week because it's Extra Life.
I mean, we can come up with one. How about what is the best Skittles bag? Is it Wildberry? Is it Tropical? Is it Crazy Flavor? Is it Sour? It's not Sour.
I prefer the smoothie kind.
Yep. Is it smoothie kind?
Best Skittles flavor. Locked in for the question of the week.
I pulled that out of my ass.
My mom is so excited.
That is not the flavor I want.
I told her that she should have Chris try some more Canadian chocolates to see what he likes. And so he's getting chocolate for Christmas. He gets chocolate for Christmas every year. But he's getting interesting chocolate this year.
Out of curiosity, Chris... Uh-oh. What Canadian chocolate have you had? I'm assuming Wunderbar! Coffee Crisp.
That's his favorite.
I mean, Wunderbars really are pretty good, yeah.
And I'm assuming you've had the Coffee Crisp?
Yes. I've had four different people, after I said I was going to Canada for the holidays, ask me to bring them back a Coffee Crisp.
Yeah.
You just can't find them here, so.
And then there's like Crunchy.
Crunchy's good too.
I love Crunchies. Crunchies are like bubble toffee. I don't remember what that stuff is actually called.
Oh,
it's like caramel that's had like baking powder added to it, so it bubbles and hardens.
It's really yummy.
Yep.
Oh, it's cinder toffee. Apparently, that's what it is.
Ah, thank you.
Honeycomb and cinder toffee. Apparently, it was originally from Australia.
Ooh.
And then there's also Crispy Crunch, which is, it's pretty Canadian. Do you guys get Crispy Crunch?
No.
Mm-mm. Y'all are making me hungry.
Yeah. Now I'm doing the check because I'm like, now I gotta know. When I went to San Diego last year, I had to like really pack my suitcase full of Canadian chocolate. I also got my friend a no-name chocolate bar because as much as I hate Galen Weston and Loblaws, you got to have the no-name chocolate bar.
I like reverse decadence. That is like the one thing I miss about being in Canada.
You might just have to like get a bunch while you're visiting.
Yup.
And I mean,
I always try to grab a bag when I first get there so that I can slowly eat it over the time that I'm in Canada.
And I am assuming things like Eat More and Big Turk are not a thing.
Nope.
Do they still sell the regular Kinder Eggs over there, or are they the American
eggs? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know they're
illegal in Canada.
The Americanized versions have the chocolate and stuff separate.
So there's like a bar thing here now instead. It's really weird.
I don't like it. I mean, then you got like the Coconut Bounty Bar.
So they do have those here, but, instead of, it's called something weird here. Almond Joy.
Ah, yes. Good old Almond Joy. I mean,
it's such a weird.
It is. You know what? Like I have my one weakness when I'm in the States that I want, which is a whatchamacallit. I really like whatchamacallits. Anytime I'm in America, I'm like, I must have a whatchamacallit, at least one. And my friend was like, I bought you a king size one. And I was like, You are my favorite human in the world, just so you know. And then her husband looked at me, he's like, what about me? And I was like, you don't count.
No!
Pay up.
He also ate all his coffee, Chris, like 2 days into my visit. I said, like, you're not getting any more anytime soon. He's like, but you could just go back to Canada and get me more.
Yeah, it's just like a quick trip around the corner.
No, it's not a 5-hour plane, right? Okay. I digress.
All right.
Yeah, there was some news, time right? For
the news.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Beep, 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 beep.
Do we care about this news? We should probably care about the news.
I'm just going to rattle through it and see what we want to talk about. Begraved has been announced, which is a first-person dungeon crawler set to be released on Steam next year in early access. And yeah, it just looks like a grim, dark, afterlife-themed dungeon crawler.
Hey.
Good for people who like it.
Yeah, it kind of has a cute art style to it.
Yeah, kind of Grim Fandango.
Yeah, yeah, kind of has that vibe to it.
Like Grim Fandango.
Starfinder Afterlight adds Roger Clark as the narrator, who's best known as Arthur Morgan in Red Dead 2.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
I know him.
Yeah. This is the tabletop-based RPG based off of the Pathfinder system, but in space.
Yep.
Space!
Pathfinder is Starjammer.
Space! Shout out to Space Corps. Oh, here you go, Chris. Pillars of Eternity turn-based mode beta available this week.
What?
Ooh.
In which game?
The original Pillars.
What?
Yeah.
What? Why? Yeah. What? How many years?
This is blowing Chris's mind.
I guess there was a DLC, or an expansion or something that had a turn-based mode that was so popular that they're trying to retrofit it in the original game.
Yeah, it's called They Made It Part of the Second Game. What is going on? Why is why is Pillars 1 getting updates?
Because I guess it's still in demand.
Who made that?
Obsidian.
Yeah. Don't they have other things to do? Like fix Outer Worlds? Ooh.
I need to get to work on the PS5 version of that. It didn't sound like it was a ton of people involved in it. I think they literally called out like 3 people working on it.
I mean, that's the thing.
Okay, moving on. Demio / Dungeons & Dragons Battlemarked reveals a second campaign titled Crown of Frost, which takes place in the Icewind Dale.
Ooh, people like Icewind Dale.
Yeah.
This is which game?
Demio / Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay.
The VR tabletop game that you can also just play even if you don't have VR.
Okay.
I don't know if this Dungeons & Dragons thing is a separate game or just a...
It is, I think. Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure. But yeah, I guess the first campaign was so popular that they're putting out a second one based in Icewind Dale. Does it say a release date or...
November 20th.
Okay, cool. For PC, $30.
PS5, and MetaQuest.
Sweet. Speaking of demos, Rito Remastered, the Mystery of the Soulless Army, has a demo available now on PC via Steam and will also be coming to PS5 and Nintendo Switch. So you can play through the prologue and episode 1 of Rito Remastered and have the progress carry over.
That's nice. I mean, for anyone who hasn't played.
I forgot, Sam, did you review Rito Remastered?
I did not. That was Jordan, but I did play it earlier this year, and I had a blast. Like, it's so dumb. It's one of those, like, when SMTs once in a while is like, we don't want to be serious, but also, like, look at this nonsense. And then there's rocket ships and Rasputin, and it's great.
Yeah.
Rocket ships and Rasputin.
I mean, it's a rock band name, right?
It should be. If it's not, it should be. So. I just hope that they remaster Rite of Abaddon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's called Abaddon?
It is something King Abaddon.
Okay. Because I have not played... crap, what's the name of that sub-series again? Whatever the Rite games are.
The Devil Summoner?
Yeah, the Devil Summoner Rite games. I have not played two, even though I bought it day one on PlayStation.
So did I, and I also have not played it.
Yeah.
Story of Our Lives.
It came out so late in the PlayStation 2's life cycle that I just never got to it.
That's how I'm feeling. When you had to buy it because it was going to be gone.
Mm-hmm. Yup.
Yep, I still have my copy with the Rito plush.
Me too. With my Rihul.
Astral Ascent is getting an animal-focused charity DLC. This looks like a deck builder game.
Okie dokie.
I'm trying to describe it. But the new charity DLC is the game's third DLC, called the Celestial Haven, and it will have a minimum price of $1.99, and all proceeds from its sales are being donated to the One Voice, which is a French animal welfare organization.
Neat.
It's going to release for PC on November 24th, with PlayStation 4, 5, and Switch releases soon to follow. And I'm sorry, I'm mistaken. Astral Ascent is more of a survival game. 2D survival game. I was looking at the wrong screenshot. I need to wishlist this because it looks kind of cool.
You're being told to parry, Chris.
I don't know how to parry.
It's okay, you got your bottle cap back.
I have to block, and I'm not good at blocking.
You're learning your game.
Poorly.
Blocking and parrying is the number one reason why I suck at Souls games. My MO was like, no blocking, we die like men. anyway.
One way.
An alchemy-themed roguelike called Alchemia Rogue Mia and the Mystery Labyrinth has been announced. And yeah, this is basically combining Atelier and Mystery Dungeon. Though it is not developed by Spike Chunsoft, it's developed by Lineleaf Games. Set to release next year via Steam and Epic Game Store, with English, Japanese, and simplified Chinese language options. And yeah, you watch the trailer and it's your basic Mystery Dungeon game. But it looks cool. And I will play anything that combines alchemy and Mystery Dungeon elements, because I love both of those genres. I don't know how the rest of you feel.
There are a lot of people on my Blue Sky feed that are very excited for this. And I haven't decided how excited I am about it.
Planned release dates next year. I wish listed it just so that I can keep an eye on it. I'm sure we'll talk about it more as more news develops. The Falconeer is getting a Revolution Remaster update. Celebrating the 5th anniversary of the game's original release. The Revolution Remaster version of the game will include overhauled visuals, with rebuilt environments, redesigned warbirds, new lighting systems, and fully dynamic illumination. Also going to have refined flight controls, rebalanced missions, expanded lore, new armor sets, and expanded voice acting. This version is also going to integrate the DLC into the base game. Has anybody played the Falconeer?
No.
Chris did.
I played a little bit of it.
Bailed out of it pretty fast.
I mean, yeah, it was good. I just didn't stick with it.
Didn't really can't grab you?
Yeah, not to keep going, but I like the concept. I like the bird. I didn't stick with it. I should. I like I don't know. I've always thought about going back to it. Just haven't.
Who knows, maybe this remastered version will play better, because they're going to keep the original version on the Steam store, apparently, and just release this as a new game.
Okay, that's weird. I mean, the game's only like 5 years old.
Yeah.
That's old enough for a remaster at this point.
You would think that they would just put it out as like a 3-year paid update or something, but I don't know. I guess you can look forward to that if you're a fan of the original game. Something I'm very, very much looking forward to, Pokemon Legends ZA Mega Dimension DLC is launching in December, specifically on December 10th. You're basically going into a special distortion with Donut Chef Anisha and her companion Hoopa. Hoopa is a Pokemon that uses hoops to create different dimensions. And yeah, you'll be able to find newly discovered Mega Pokemon and other Pokemon normally not found in the city. Some of them exceeding the normal level 100 limit with hyperspace levels, which I hope that they're going to expand the level cap so that you can, you know, feasibly catch these things. Because the level cap's only level 100 right now. And I think the highest level Pokemon you can find currently is like level 70, I want to say. This article does not say how much the DLC is, though if you buy it now, you can, according to the video, not the article, if you buy it now, you get access to some new X and Y themed outfits in the game currently. I guess
it's going to be a $30 expansion.
Okay. Is that a guesstimate, or did you find that somewhere?
Yeah, I found that.
Okay. That makes sense. That's what their expansions tend to run. Oh, also, I'm not a big fan of Raichu, but damn, the Mega Evolved Raichu looks cute. Just putting that out there.
It's interesting that we keep getting Raichu variants.
Yeah. Usually it's the Pikachu that gets the weird variants. When does this come out? December 10th. Okay. I seem to be the only one excited, but I'm also the only one that's finished ZA.
Yeah, I feel like waiting even a few weeks is going to benefit me a lot. Mm-hmm. Just because they've changed the way some of the... it's not a Mega Evolution, but it's... Is it Mega Evolution in this? Yay.
Yeah.
There's, I guess, some... Depending on which starter that you get, depends on how quickly you get their Mega Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess they're fixing that?
Yeah, because in my game, they just like gave me a stone when they gave me my Mega Evolution bracelet.
Gotcha.
So I'm not 100% sure about how, what, because I picked the Piggy. But then as soon as I got a Pyroar and or a Litleo in my party, since it was a fire type, I immediately put my Tepig in the box and never got it back out. Because surprise, surprise, Pyroar is one of my favorite Pokemon. Anyway, this has me kind of intrigued. Musical action RPG is a Strange Overlord announced from NIS America. It is a musical action RPG from this Gaia creator, Sohei Nikiwa, being developed by Gem Drops, Broccoli, and Super Niche. Planned to release internationally next year for PC, PlayStation 4, 5, and Switch. And cool. Yeah, it looks like exactly what they said, a musical but action RPG using the Disgaea style.
Yeah, I watched the trailer. I still can't quite understand exactly what's going on, but it is colorful. And
it does feel like the kind of game that you're going to have to watch someone stream it to decide if you're going to want to play it.
Yeah. Well, it said that, you know, like items, you know, like go around in a circle surrounding where you're fighting. And I could see that. But then you were outside of it. And I'm like, what does that actually do?
It looks crazy, but anytime the Disgaea team tries something new, I'm down for it. Because I think the Disgaea team has some very creative and interesting ideas, and I don't necessarily want them to be in another Disgaea sequel as much as I like that series.
Well, that kind of like hems them into doing a Disgaea, you know, like the Disgaea games have to be a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And having a musical theme... action RPG just seems kind of interesting, so I'm going to be keeping an eye on this particular...
It's not the Disgaea team, says Alex.
Oh, okay. Just the Disgaea creator?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. My bad. But yeah. So hopefully we'll have more news stories about that. Let's see what else. Odds Chronicles announced. This is a tactical roguelike RPG set to launch next year on Steam and Epic Game Store with PS5, Xbox Series X, and Switch versions planned to release later. And yeah, looks like generic isometric strategy RPG.
Yeah, very tabletop inspired, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else to really report on there. Karaneko Kickstarter campaign underway. This is a pixel art RPG that draws inspiration from JRPGs and visual novels with bullet hell combat inspired by Deltarune and Undertale. Expect a release in 2027.
It makes me so sad because I pulled open this story and I was like looking at the screenshots and I'm like, this game is very pretty and visually appealing to me. And then I went back to the top of the story and was like, bullet hell combat inspired by Undertale and Deltarune. It's like, oh, well, never mind.
I mean, I'm in the same boat. I thought the exact same thing. I was like, this looks pretty. And then I was like, I can't play games like Deltarune and Undertale because arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
They're not friendly to people with arthritis. So
maybe with any luck, there will be accessibility modes for people that have mobility issues because I'm starting to develop them. Just something I wish developers listening would keep in mind. Not everybody can handle twitchy gameplay. That's why we like RPGs.
Well, there are still every game can't be for every person is the only thing that comes to mind on that.
No, but I'm with Sam and Andy that I feel like people trying to mimic the Undertale stuff don't understand why certain people like certain RPGs.
Yes, but Undertale's also like a frickin' giant cult hit bestseller, so they're trying to mimic it because it's a giant cult hit bestseller and people did want to play it.
Money.
Lots of people want to play it. Lots of people don't have a problem with it.
At least the worst fight in the game,
you don't
really
have to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're a jerk like Andy.
I mean, I tried it and I was like, I don't see how any human being can do this, but.
And then you watch the speedrunners and they're like, this used to
be
hard.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, what's up?
How many deaths are you at
I'm
now?
At over 35, apparently. I didn't say game was for me either. Like, for goodness sake. Also, Undertale's not that bad. 36. I played it. It's not that bad. Undertale. I've played Undertale. This is hard. Undertale. You have to retry a couple fights. You'll be okay.
I just found Undertale's bullet hell to be somewhat manageable and...
And no, you're not fighting Scar in Undertale. Well, Andy is because he's a jerk. But, like, the dodging is too hard for people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Sorry.
You're right. No, that's a thing. Now, they should have more easy modes. That seems reasonable, right?
Yeah.
Like, just give you a gun that can one-shot all the bosses or something.
Pretty much.
I am amazed that you
haven't. I can't find it. I don't have access to it. They haven't given it to me. There's no setting.
Hang on. When do you get the gun?
Oh, assist mode. If the game's difficulty, feel free to turn on some of these options.
Yes.
Preset, hard, default. Interesting. Oh, here's what we can do. Extra shell durability, reduced damage taken, lower enemy health, extra dodge invincibility, extra parry window, prevent currency loss on death, prevent pitfall damage, slow down the game speed, give Krill a gun.
There's your one
That's
shot.
That's my favorite. Give Krill a gun.
Krill a one shot. Yep.
It is not in the least bit subtle about what is happening with this particular.
I don't think
setting.
People want me to turn any of these on, though.
I mean,
do you need to get past this boss?
Huh? people don't need to see me get past a boss. They want to watch me die to a boss over and over and over and over and over and over.
Now, the only reason why I'm advocating for extra options, Chris, is because I feel really bad for people that want to play a story-driven game like an Undertale or what this is being described, and then they see the bullet hell modifier. Like,
well,
and
never mind.
Like, and they're like, well, I guess I can't play this.
And to a degree, that's okay. Like, not every game needs to be for every person, and if you want to just make a very hard game, two enthusiastic thumbs up from me, even if I can't play it. But it is nice if devs are like, yeah, this game is incredibly hard and this is the way that we intend you to play it. But also, if this gameplay is just inaccessible for you,
here's a gun. I knew it. That's what you're going to say. Here's a gun.
To me, it's just right up there with, I don't know, not having subtitles or a colorblind mode. I think it's a little bit tone deaf and ableist to not include people with mobility issues.
Yeah, Blueprints keeps promising a colorblind mode, but I don't think it's been implemented yet. And if it has, please someone write in and tell me.
Huh, I saw that IM8-Bit was doing a physical version of that.
Andy, I have it on Xbox. You can just try it, see if it's in.
No, I have watched enough people stream it that I can tell you that it is not okay for me to play right now.
No,
the devs have
to
said,
see if it's in there yet. You can boot up the game to check.
It doesn't look like it is in yet.
All right, then.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Carrying on, sorry. We're spider-webbing a lot.
Yeah, it's Extra Life Week.
True.
Meg's Monster DLC is releasing on PC in December. This was the kind of Undertale-y game about the monsters and the girl who, if she cries, the world will end. This DLC is going to be available on December 4th. That includes 2 hours of content and lets players witness the background stories for 5 different characters. So if you wanted more Meg's Monster in your life, because I'm told this was a good game, it got our 2023 Michael Cunningham Memorial Award. So you can check out more content from that game. Secret Character announces Eternity Breaker. What is this about? It's a fantasy 2.5 turn-based roguelike RPG in development for PC and planned to release in 2026. And sees players attempting to battle out of a seemingly endless dungeon with grid-based combat.
Yeah, one of those games with a 3x5 grid that the player and enemies gets put on, and then you got to move your character around and do attacks that take up, hit certain areas of the map.
I think I'm confused why they just announced this so early.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
This is someone that they do have a couple of games under their belt that people seem to like. But this feels like the kind of indie game that unless you're kickstarting it, you announce it 6 weeks out, and then ride the wish list to your release date. Like, why are you announcing this so early?
I don't know. Trying to get buzz, I guess.
Yeah, but does this game need buzz? Does it need a big lead up to launch? Like, it's not like they're putting out physical copies.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know.
This has become my pet peeve in 2025. Indie games that announce themselves too damn early.
Because it's already frustrating enough when AAA developers do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has anybody played Nicktoons and the Dice of Destiny? Or have you been
clamoring? I don't think any of us have.
No.
Have you been clamoring for that Switch 2 release?
Don't think
so.
Not
really.
Because it's going to be coming out for Switch 2 on December 5th with a physical keycard version on December 12th.
Why? Key card? Why?
Because we're not allowed to have nice things.
I don't even have a Switch 2, and I can say that.
I have a Switch 2 now, but I still don't understand key cards.
Look, how dare you want to own your game?
It's the worst of both worlds. It's not really physical. And so, like, you need to download it from the internet to actually play it. And it's not really digital because you have to dunk around with the stupid little physical cartridge. Literally the worst of both worlds. Anyways, sorry. Rant off.
It's dumb.
Carrying on. Sorry, Kels.
No, it's okay. I was curious about this one, but it's doing like new popular Nicktoons as opposed to the Nicktoons from my youth.
Yeah, I mean,
it has SpongeBob.
Problem. Yeah, I'm even too old for SpongeBob.
Yeah. I think one of the only Nicktoons that's in this that's from my era is... Oh, I don't even think it has a Rugrat in it.
It does. No, it has Susie.
Oh, okay. No,
Susie's okay. One of the wizards.
Okay.
But she's an odd choice is what I'm going to say, because when I think of Rugrats...
You think of, like, Chucky.
Angelica or Chucky.
Yeah.
Tommy. And actually, to me, Tommy would have been the right choice.
Yeah.
Because Tommy's whole shtick is he wants to go on adventures.
Mm, that is again, a very good
I love
point.
Susie. I think she's adorable. But she's not Tommy Pickles' adventure baby.
She doesn't have main character energy.
No. I mean, and it again, unpopular opinion.
She's a
but
DEI
like,
hire. What do you want?
Oh, no. Chris. No. No.
Ouch.
Carrying on. Next. Next.
Well, I like play.
We're not look, we're not stepping look, in that
joke,
trap.
Obviously.
The true issue is they picked Leonardo over Raphael.
What does that mean? Oh, in the Nicktoons game.
Yes. Ninja Turtle. I'm sorry. I don't Leo's lame. Sorry.
And for me, Leo isn't a Nicktoon. Leo was on a completely different channel.
Exactly.
Donatello is the correct turtle, by the way.
Is he a Nicktoon in the new series?
Nickelodeon bought
Turtles.
One of the turtle shows.
Gotcha.
That's like more like really kid friendly.
Is that the one that they sort of look like clay models?
No.
No, it's I think a newer one than that, even Andy.
Yeah.
What?
I know. There's. You've Too been missing turtles. all the turtles, all the toidles.
Yeah. Honestly, Toidles. I just like need to get on a call with like my two niblings. Have them explain to me turtles.
No. Leonardo is not the best. Hair frog. We can't be it's friends.
Donatello.
Again, I accept Donatello as an answer.
Look, Raph is voiced by Rob Paulsen and no one else.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
Are we going back to the movie now? Or
This is the
TV
rabbit
show?
Hole that we didn't need for Extra Life.
Look, if we're tier ranking turtles, Raph, Donnie, Mikey, and Leo's at the bottom.
No, I want you to... we're ranking turtles from the live-action movies.
No!
Yes. Yeah, no, you have to.
Venus, then!
Oh, no.
She's awful.
I was about to ask, like, where does Venus fit on this?
I'm sorry,
list?
What is... Is that is she in the third one or something?
That's the girl turtle
in the movies.
That
the
was
live
from
action
the Saban.
Movies?
That was the Saban series. That,
okay, that's not the live action movie.
They did make a live action movie with her in it, though.
Oh.
It came later.
It was a TV series, not a movie.
Aha! Yeah, I was gonna say.
I'm checking this.
Was there not a direct to video with her? Or
that's
direct
what I
to,
thought.
I mean, if home? It's. If it's a direct-to-video movie, then I stand corrected.
But
I
that
just,
still
I think,
count.
All right, I'm looking. I'm going to find out the answer. What was she in?
I just know that Venus was in the live-action series made by Saban that crossed over with Power Rangers.
Yes, so there is that.
Which means it's probably in the comics, too, right?
But yes. Also, nobody liked her.
Aww.
Well, that's because she was, like, weird.
Because one, she had turtle boobs, and two, her entire personality.
Andy, what was that checklist you found the other day? Like, Is the female character taking away a character slot from a male character? We had a how to tell if a game is woke, and it was all this insane BS about like our female characters in the game taking the spot of male characters. Could this role be better done by a male character? Is the female character have a relationship with another female character? It was weird.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. Also, Kelly, I take back, you are correct.
Okay.
It was that TV show. And then they put her in the comics much later.
I just remember that Eastman and Lard absolutely hated her. And
Wait, she has boobs. That would be the biggest issue, right?
Yeah, that was one of the issues.
What is your... I mean, I guess it's a turtle exposed to a human, so they have human DNA too.
You mean you don't want turtle boobs?
I don't know what turtle boobs even mean, you know?
Why
would it be on the shell?
Her shell was voluptuous.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, right?
Turtle boobs.
That would just imply that she has nipples under the shell that are constantly chafing, you know? I don't like it.
Look at her design. It just, I don't want to. So, okay, you know what? Leonardo's still at the bottom. Venus is at the very bottom.
Oh.
If you're going to have a female mutant character, bring in Mona Lisa, because she was actually cool. She was a wizard.
Yep. And you know what? I will take all the revamps of April, because a lot of them have been really good.
Someone was mad that the newest April is back to being black.
She was black in the comics.
Correct. Oh, really? She was black to begin with.
Yep. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Cool.
She was black.
She was based off of a real person. Whose mom was black and dad was white.
Okay.
So, yeah, April was originally black. Things you don't know when you grew up with the 80s cartoon.
I love original banana jumpsuit April. Don't get me wrong, that was my childhood, but mm-hmm. I will accept a black April.
Well, she could still have a banana jumpsuit.
Yeah, I mean, I would like a marriage of the two.
But like, yeah.
She's more like tech nerd in the new...
In
the comics is what I'm asking. Like, what was the original April O'Neil?
I don't remember.
She was kind of like really leather in the original comics.
That's cool too.
She was more of a scientist in the comics.
Okay, so the tech thing has history as well. So her and Donnie need to ship. That's what we need.
People do.
Oh, okay, cool.
I don't want a turtle ship. That just...
Why not? Is that like a boat that you sail around the sewers? That sounds great.
I'm not saying I want a turtle ship either. I'm just saying that people do it.
I want that version that Chris just described, the boat. Mm. As we drive around the sewers in our turtle ship.
Oh, no, I mean, not the sewers. I just remembered the sewers level from the NES game. No, you can just walk over it. The bomb defusal is what I'm thinking of.
I hate it.
It's like every run. You get through, you have one life left in the next stage, so you never really do anything on the next stage, because you can never get to the next stage to practice to figure out what you're supposed to do on the next stage.
Yep. You win. Pretty bad.
The first time I ever beat that game was on the Cowabunga collection, because you could do save states and rewinds.
Nice. What a world we live in now.
And gosh, you think about how many kids' weekends that game ruined because of how hard it was.
Mm.
Yep. I'm in
our
that camp.
Kid self
sure.
would never. All right, we got distracted by Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, we did. That's easy to do.
Kelly and I love the Ninja Turtles.
Yep. As an 80s kid, 80s/90s kid, that's my thing. Action RPG Retrace the Light is releasing this month. It is a time-bending 2.5 action-adventure RPG available through Steam and Epic Game Store with Xbox and PlayStation 5 versions in development. And what is this about? you have the retrace ability, which lets you teleport back to previous locations and outmaneuver foes and solve puzzles. Which sounds kind of cool. It's kind of a looks like kind of a sci-fi game.
Yeah, because
the main character is created by an AI.
It is very visually interesting because you're like walking up the side of walls and then it, you know, just kind of like tilts over. It's almost like Mario Galaxy vibes the way it works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's interesting looking with like platforming puzzles and stuff in it as well.
Set to release on PC on November 21st.
Oh, that's only a couple weeks away.
Mm. Yep. So we can look forward to that. Elemage Original Priestess of Darkness and the Ring of Gods is coming to Switch in Japan. What were the? I think these were originally PSP games. Yeah, they were PSP games.
It was originally a PS2 game that then got a PSP remake.
Yeah. See, I couldn't remember if these were based off of Choose Your Own Adventure novels, or am I thinking of something else? I think I'm thinking of something else. But they're getting... does it say remasters? Or they're getting remakes of the PSP versions in Japan.
They're getting remakes of the remakes?
I guess. Either remakes or kind of remasters. It doesn't really say. They're going to be out on April 23rd, 2026.
I guess we'll learn more in the coming months.
And whether or not they'll come to the U.S.
I wonder who would tackle these.
Yeah. Echoes of Elysium is arriving in early access in December. This is an airship-building open-world RPG expected to spend a year in early access on Steam. And it goes into early access on December 4th. You're crafting airships to investigate the world's floating islands. Okay, that could be neat.
Yeah, it's got some definite Greek inspirations on there.
Yeah. And then finally, Kingdom of Night is releasing next month. This is a $20 game for PC, GOG, Humble Store, itch.io. It is set in the 80s where a satanic cult has summoned the demon Baphomet. And it has a really stark comic book style.
Like, interesting.
Think the Creepshow comics.
I think I need to go quickly Google because that sounds like it is not a thing for me, but could be visually. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, okay, the game itself is pixel art. The art style of the characters is very Silver Age looking comic.
Spoopy.
Yeah. So coming out on December 2nd. So that is all of the news.
Ooh.
Yay!
It was a lot of news this week for...
It's over!
November? Well,
yeah.
For November? Yeah. I mean, there usually is like a dead week around now before everything kind of goes crazy before the holidays, but apparently not this year.
Mm-hmm. Look,
it was a lot more
indie Black Friday.
Stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
So what's coming out? Somebody is since Chris is busy.
No, he definitely has to do it while he's playing.
I'm making progress in this fight. I can't do. You're terrible.
I'll do it. Here, things coming out.
I died again.
Where's the list?
See now you have time.
I'm just gonna like. Pretend I know what's going on. 9 Years of Shadows. Sacred 2, the game you didn't know you needed a remake of.
Again? How many remakes of it are there?
Just this one.
I don't
one.
Know. Just this one. But also when Sacred 2 came out, we gave it a whopping 3 out of 5. Thanks, Adrian.
Mediocre.
I'm sorry, Diablo I don't rate reviews by Adrian Denauden.
Exactly. Why?
Look, if it has the Blind Guardian song, it earns a whole point for me.
Yeah. Rue Valley. That was
I know what happened there.
Inazuma 11 Victory Road.
Oh, really?
I still don't believe this is coming out.
I don't either.
When someone has a copy in their hot hands, I will believe it.
Does it have like a theme song like Victory Road?
I don't know.
No.
The answer is we'll wait till Alex reviews it as the resident footy person.
Good call.
Yakuza Kiwami and Kiwami 2 for Switch 2.
Yay.
And then the Atelier Ryza triple pack is a thing. And
is
then
that for Switch 2?
Also for it's for everything.
Okay. I thought they already released that.
The three pack? No, I think they were waiting, right?
That's on the side.
Ryza. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ryza. Under Thaiza. Where the Wind Meets. And then I don't care about the rest because that's as far as the upcoming's game list goes on the website because I don't want to open more tabs.
The release site is pretty good, but yeah.
It's fine.
We're good.
We talked about things. The most important thing that's coming out, Sacred 2.
I've got to finish this fight before we can finish the show.
You're not going to.
It's not going to happen, is it? I'm just running around ducking in my shell the whole time.
Practice your...
Vaughn is like, parrying. I'm going to set up a bot. I don't know how to parry! And this is not a good place to learn.
Probably not, no. You know what? I shouldn't bitch because you're the one suffering.
Get good,
because
Scrub.
What do I know?
I don't even know if I can parry half of these things.
All right.
There we go. See? You've been told to press the parry button.
There's no parry button. You have to let go of block to parry on a timer. Like, it's not even block at the time of the attack. It's let go of block. It's
there you
so
go.
Weird.
You got your can powers.
Like, I understand.
I'm just an inconspicuous can.
Oh my gosh. She keeps breaking my cans too.
Sexy can.
So just a couple of pieces of editorial content this week. We have an interview with the devs for Celesta 2. For some reason, it is the marketing director and community lead that we got to sit down and chat with us.
Cool, I'm waiting
for
that one.
Give that a look. And also, we have a Persona 3 Reload Switch 2 version review. And so, there is performance issues. I would say read the review before you go too crazy on worrying about the performance issues and whether they are going to specifically bug you.
For what?
Persona 3 Reload on the Switch 2.
Oh. Yeah.
So, the review goes into it in a lot more depth, and since I haven't played it, I will defer to their authority. So, as a reminder, Extra Life is still going on if you're listening to this not too long after it has been recorded on November 8th. We will be streaming on twitch.tv/rpgamer all the way through November 8th, all the way through November 9th, and you can continue to donate to us, raising money for Children's Miracle Network at extra-life.org/participants/rpgamer or go to rpgamer.com, find the Extra Life 2025 story, and hit the donate link in there. Our question of the week is best Skittles flavor.
And also help us get to the goal where we force, you know, Hair Frog to play Final Fantasy X-2.
Yes. So we need to get to, if nothing else, 1500. Our total goal is very pie in the sky. It's $5,000. But I wanted to shoot for the stars. And so help us at least get to 1500 if you can. Otherwise, do come by the Twitch channel and cheer us on. We love hearing from our listeners. So thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kels.
No problem.
Thank you, Josh.
Of course.
No thanks to you, Chris.
Some thanks to Chris.
Okay, I guess. Sam, what are you going to be playing this week?
So once I get off here, I'm going to go back to Final Fantasy Tactics and continue doing my extra life hours.
Awesome.
I mean, I was also playing Trails Through the Daybreak.
Are you doing like Andy does and killing chocobos for fun and profit?
Yes.
Oh, you're all terrible.
Look, I'm trying to get the achievement for like the cool poacher stuff.
I'm doing it with
poaching
the cats right
your
now.
Own team for profit and rare items.
That's right. Get it right.
I'm not even sorry I'm doing it.
You know
no
what?
Reason. Maybe, they breed so quickly.
Chocobos are an invasive species.
Yes.
I've got the cats right now, Kelly. I've got three breeds of cats just filling up my inventory with cat eggs.
I'm with Kelly.
Invasive cats come from species. Eggs.
Needs to be cleansed.
I'll just have to tell myself those bobcats aren't real.
Josh and I both put that in the spreadsheet at the same time for a title.
What, chocobos are an invasive species?
Yeah.
Beautiful line.
I don't know whose screenshot I saw that was just on Blue Sky that was just nothing but chocobos in their inventory.
It doesn't take long to happen. Like, no. It's
well,
literally
it.
Just
like,
walk
yeah,
back
just,
and forth a little.
It's like, oh no, you have another chocobo. And then he made another chocobo. And then he made another chocobo. And then you just get to the point
he?
Where you're like,
I'm confused.
No. We all call our chocobos he, and yet they're all laying eggs and having babies.
They're all named Boko.
Are you saying that chocobos breed asexually? Because
yes.
I feel like
no,
that's what you're saying.
I'm saying that there is like major M-preg implications happening.
Oh, no. No, you did not just make Ivelisse Omegaverse setting. No, I refuse to accept this.
I don't know.
It's official.
Josh Evilous is quietly Omegaverse sitting fan here fiction. Going, I am never going to be on a podcast ever.
No. Chocobo.
I mean, this is a debatable point for a different time and different place.
We'll pick this up during the Among Us stream later today.
I'm going to archive of our own and making some tags.
I definitely need to be on the Among Us string now.
Adult fanfic org, man!
It's like, okay, here's the Lindsay Ellis video that will explain it.
Oh, no. Mm.
Yep.
Oh,
thank
no.
You, Lindsay.
Oh, no. All right. Kelly, what are you going to be playing this week?
More Age of Imprisonment and more Power Wash, depending on my mood.
So I am also going to be playing Age of Imprisonment. If for no other reason, then I'm going to be streaming it. And then probably trying to knock out a little more Final Fantasy Tactics. Josh, before you yeet yourself and never come to a podcast again, what are you going to be playing this week?
More Outer Worlds 2 and some FFT. Maybe I need to be killing my chocobos, apparently.
Oh, Josh, poaching your own party for fun and profit?
Stop killing
like
the chocobos! Oh my gosh!
Is a whole thing. There is equipment that you can only get
by
convincing monsters to join your party and then breeding the rarest version
and
of them.
Killing their children!
Yeah.
And then you make them leave the party once they have the kids, because you don't need them anymore. You
Correct.
Just wanted them for the babies.
Yeah.
You're terrible.
I'm terrible.
That's what's great about video games. You can do these things that you would never do in real life. Like, chocobo milling sounds awful in real life. In video games, it's a viable strategy.
Cyre on the chat says 95 Brave M/M Chocobo Egg Preg.
I accept responsibility for this.
No. No.
Chris is up to 59 deaths, by the way.
I feel like I'm 59 just on this boss.
I was going to say, at least 50 of which are this
Poor
boss.
Chris.
I don't think so. But.
All right. Chris, what are you going to play this week?
Not this.
You're going to play Among Us. You're going to die a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
Do I still need to kill Chris first?
I'm going to add those incentives to the page very shortly.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. Oops, I have logged into the wrong Extra Life account. I now have two.
Have a good day, everybody.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.